Hello, hello! Welcome to Interceptor Beyond Podcast. My name is Arthur, and today on the episode we have a music artist from the Los Angeles, Tyra Hu. Don't forget to follow this podcast on Spotify or any platform if you dig it, if you dig this show. And please rate this show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts, whatever. Anyways, let's talk to Tyra.
I am Tyra. I am the singer, founder, guitar player of Tyra.
Yeah. So, as I know, as I did my research, you're right now in the middle of, you're relaxing at the moment between the tours, right?
Yes, that is correct.
You were in Vienna 1 month ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't come to the show. So that's why we're recording online now and not in real life. So tell me, how was the tour in Europe? And with whom did you tour?
Yeah, sure. We're opening for Like a Baguette and Twan and Bad Ball. And it was really, really fun. It was a great experience. I learned so much. we met a lot of people. Live for Bagany, Prong and Bad Balls fans are very fun people to meet on the road.
Was it the first time you toured with them?
Yes, it was.
What were the expectations?
Honestly, I had no expectations because you can't really tell, you know, from especially social media or anything like that. So I just figured I'll just see when we get there, you know. And turns out everyone is very cool and down to earth. And it's actually really funny because most of the players, musicians have families. So, you know, it's like on stage, they were like, yeah, rock and roll. And off stage, they were like with their kids on the phone, you're doing that. So, you know, it was really cute.
I heard that on stage and off stage, you're the same.
Yeah. I would say so. No. Actually, Mina, she's very calm. Like, I think that when you know, like on stage, she's very cool and badass and all that, you know? And actually, off stage, she's just this really calm.
No, wait a second. Maybe you didn't get me correctly. On stage, you and off stage.
Oh, me.
Yeah. We're talking about you.
if I am different, yeah, I guess so.
No, I mean same.
I don't know. I mean, when I sing, obviously I don't scream at people the way that I scream when I sing. But to me, I'm the same. And in between songs, you know, like it happened a couple times where because I'm actually pretty chill and laid back, you know, when I'm just talking in between songs, it might be a little bit of a drop of energy, but it's really not. And I have a particular sense of humor that maybe if you don't know me, you don't really get where I'm going with what I'm saying, but I don't feel like I'm different. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Because you never know. Well, as you said, like your colleagues, your touring colleagues from the previous tour, you didn't know what to expect. So yeah, I'm asking the source. I'm asking you. How do you feel about that? And you said that you learned so much from that tour. What did you learn? Give an example.
Yeah, sure. So on previous tours, for instance, you know, we're independent. So on previous tours, when Coco was playing, we had a little bit of, just a tiny bit of time sometimes in between shows that we were, you know, a little bit more relaxed. But this was not the kind of tour where you had time to relax. So when I planned the tour, the days off that we had, actually, I tried to book us some shows thinking like, why are we going to, you know, why do we need a day off? You know, let's just play to a different city, let's just go see another city. You know, let's just sightsee a little bit. And turns out we didn't have a second. When we had a second to breathe or sleep, we were using it. So that
yeah,
was one thing.
I heard stories about your crazy energy. The band, your mom told me that you like to drive long roads.
Yeah, I don't mind the driving. Yeah.
Yeah, 28 hours of driving from Oklahoma to LA.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Everybody were happy that they were touring with you, I guess.
Yeah. Gotta do what you gotta do.
All right, so that was the previous tour. So let's talk about now. You have an upcoming tour. With whom? Tell me.
With Wednesday 13, South of Salem and Sick and Beautiful.
All right. I mean, those are like really awesome bands. I know them all, of course. But how did you get the gig?
Actually, because I was talking to, we're trying to get to open for LOA on the East Coast tour. And they had someone else in mind. And so I said, okay, well, what else? And they're like, well, how about this? And I just jumped on it. I thought, yes, for sure.
Well, yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, it is a big one. Yeah.
Have you already, because you're like in the middle of the touring, let's say like this, but have you already toured with them a little bit or not?
No, not at all.
Okay, so everything is ahead. Same, no expectations and stuff.
Exactly. I'm really excited because I did listen to each band a little bit, and everyone sounds great. So I think it's going to be really fun. So I changed our set list a little bit so that we can fit a little bit better. And I'm excited to see what happens. So, now that I know more of how it works in those conditions and some venues we already played with, like Life of Agony and Mad Ball, because it was in the UK, now I kind of know where I'm going a little bit better. So I'm really excited.
So now you're going to play more songs by Alanis Morissette.
Exactly.
that's why you fit in, because of the whole influence of Alanis Morissette. By the way,
yeah,
like when I checked out your music, the early stuff, I can feel there's more Alanis Morissette in you. And now if I compare it to the latest record, latest release single, for example, it feels that there's more you than Alanis Morissette. She's still there a little bit, but mm-hmm. you are more dominant in that area.
Ah, good. Thank you. Good. Life.
Was it, do you think that you found your voice already? How you sound, your sound?
I'm not sure, because when I thought I did before, turns out I didn't. So I don't know. I think that, personally, my musical journey is kind of similar to my personal journey, where I'm still discovering what I like, what I don't like. And my music is so personal that, you know, when you're like 20 and you're writing music and no one can expect you to know exactly what you want to write about and what to do. You barely know yourself, you know? And to me, my music is the same way. You know, it's just normal that it evolves with my personality and what I go through in my life. So I'm happy with what I'm writing right now, but I don't know, it might change. If I get more on metal tours like that, I might just turn metal all the way. I don't know.
Are you planning some kind of stage theatrical performance? Because I know that Wednesday, Sick and Beautiful, they're like heavy on the show.
I saw that. That's amazing. It's intimidating.
Yeah, I was. When I saw the poster, you was like, "Oh, okay."
I
understand why you're there. You know, like as a musician. You know, but wow, okay.
Yeah,
it's not easy.
No,
it's not easy.
No, I know. It's intimidating. When I saw like her little post, I was like, wow, what? We don't have fire. We don't even have a backdrop. You know? So, well, see. I think
you have to experiment on the fly. Like, okay. We'll see. We don't know. It's going to be in the United Kingdom, right?
Yes.
What are the dates? Tell me the dates.
From April 6th to the 15th. And And the good thing is from the Life of Agony tour, a lot of, you know, venues are similar, and you know, people were coming, you know, for the openers, which was obviously amazing for us. And that way we got to say, like, we're coming back for those dates, and people have been messaging that they're coming for the Wednesday 13 tour. So that's really good. That's good for us.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not the first time you're touring Europe. I mean, you're from Europe, and you started your musical career at LA official, let's say, like this.
Exactly.
But then you were touring in Europe. You're no stranger to Europe, let's say, like this.
Yes. Yes.
Actually, by the way, I can ask you, how do you compare touring in the USA and in Europe?
Well, Europe provides delicious food. But
French people talking about food. I'm joking.
You're right. You're right. It's important. No, the venues we get a lot of perks in Europe that we don't get everywhere else. So it's always nice. And you know the history. I like visiting Europe. I just like traveling, to be honest. So everywhere is fine to me. But the main difference is, you know, the rider and what you can put on the rider or not.
Do you have something special on the rider?
Whiskey.
Which kind of whiskey? Different kinds. American,
know,
Scottish, Irish. Come on, Tara.
Irish. I like Jameson. But the thing is...
Oh, my God. She likes Jameson. Oh, my God. What about Jack Daniels and Motorhead, female Motorhead? The people, let me kill Mister, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Bullshit. She likes Jameson. I'm joking.
I have my own personality, though, eh? And my own taste. No, but the thing is, I just don't dare to ask for too much either, you know? So I'm just like, hey, whiskey and local snacks, because if we don't have time to sightsee, at least we can just eat your food.
Eat before the gig?
Very, very lightly before the gig, just so that I don't faint on stage. But after the show is really when we're really hungry.
I interview a lot of musicians, right? And I'm pretty much asking the same questions to get the experience, right? So to see how people deal with a certain thing. Well, for example, the band Clutch, they don't eat before the gig, 5 hours before the gig, they don't eat.
Oh, wow.
I didn't interview Tool, but I know the same thing, 5 hours. Slipknot, wow. I think. I also didn't interview Slipknot, but I still know it's 5 hours or something like this.
Wow.
Because they have to jump on stage, you know, and voice, two things, voice and jumping on stage, and food is not really working out.
Oh, interesting. Now I have to have a little bit of something, otherwise I'm always scared to be hungry or to faint or something like that, because I get really weak if I don't eat.
Yeah, everybody has their own way.
Exactly.
So, going on tour, theater, all right, not the first time. Yeah. Experience of LA and European. I heard from many American bands that they prefer to tour in Europe because the attitude of the venues, of promoters, of all the people is better in Europe than in the USA, let's say.
I would agree. Yeah.
I would agree, right? What about West Coast LA, the shiny LA? Everybody loves artists there, right?
I mean, the thing is, I don't know. I can't generalize, you know, but I would agree. For my recent experience in Europe, everyone was always smiling, all the promoters, all the staff, everyone who took care of every single one of us. And it was not because we're musicians, like from anyone from the crew. There was just this mutual respect from the moment you came in. But I can't generalize and say that it's not the same in the US, you know, or in the UK. You know, I think it's also the vibe that you, you know, that comes out of you. And it's just, I think it could be the same, maybe it would be the same everywhere. I mean, we everywhere we went, actually, people said, oh, you guys are so always smiling. And you know, we're just having fun, to be honest. I think if you come with that attitude and, you know, people are just going to eventually, if they don't start like this, you know, change, shift, I think.
And how was it for you? How did it change and how was it for you when you came to LA? Because you came at an early age, 21.
And it,
how was it for you back then? And how did it develop, you know? Like, and what were your expectations again when you went to LA?
Well, I was young and I was full of energy, and, you know, I thought...
You're still full of energy. Don't give me any bullshit.
No, I know. I still have that energy, but I guess I, you know, there was just so much like hope, and like, you know, at the time it was still like, you still heard some of the stories where agents and managers like found artists and, you know, just going to a bar, you know, that's, you can't, like, that doesn't work anymore. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, when I moved to LA, there was a lot of that and then a lot of like new things, new culture. You know, I was just so happy to be in LA, living my dream and meeting people, working with the people I've been following and listening to growing up. You know, like, I would have never had this experience if I had stayed in France, you know?
Yeah, and I also heard that because you were singing in English, in France is a little bit complicated with English language.
It is. Yep. It is. It's so interesting. Like, so I've had, like you said, you know, I've had people interested, but they wanted me to translate all of my songs, which was obviously not going to happen. And now that we've toured, you know, with Life of Agony and all that. So now what I'm hearing is like, everyone is interested, but you cannot say that you're French. Just said that you're from the US and that way they'll be interested in you. It's like, really? Like, so on one side you have the agencies that only want French artists, so it has to be like 100% French, sing in French and all that. And then on the other side we have to, like, that false pretense, you know, to be from somewhere else, you know, and I think it's a shame, but I don't know, we'll see.
You know, like, I interviewed musicians from different countries and all they say the same thing. You know, you need to somehow, you become exotic and interesting if you come from another country. So even like, for example, in Austria, for example, there's more chance that people will dig you in Austria if you make it, you made it big in Germany, for example, right? Or, you know, like if you're from United Kingdom, and you made it big in United States and then you came back to United Kingdom, you know, like, it's often you are big somewhere else and then you come back, you know, like at the top, but you're still the same person and like,
yeah,
not much changed.
It's the same music. Yeah, it's the same music, you're still playing the same, but well,
all right,
it's crazy.
So you moved to LA, because I'm asking about LA because I mean, there's stories, as you said, there's stories of how LA can be cruel. I mean, it's really cool, like, everything is cool about it, yes, but there's also stories, like, for example, when I interviewed Eddie from Hippie Death Cult, he did the same thing. I think he was younger, he was 18, not sure, don't remember. He moved to LA with a guitar and nothing, and for some time he had to sleep in his car, right? So it was not easy, and it took him, like, long, I think more than 10 years to get to the point where the band is now. How was it for you? Mm-hmm. Like, was it like all smooth or some like dives happened? I'm just trying to get some useful information for the people who are like have the same idea to go to LA, you know.
Oh no, it's hard. No, it's hard. It's really hard. It's hard, but it's how you take it too, you know. If you go to LA expecting, you know, thinking, for instance, if you're a really good musician and you go to LA like, oh yeah, I'm so good, that, you know, something will happen. Well, no, it's not what it's about. You know, like, LA is a city that is full of actors, musicians, artists. You're not going to be the only one. So if you don't have the right attitude, it doesn't matter how great you are, you're not going to be hired, you know? It's not only about how technical you are with your instruments, it's also the attitude, and that's how you get and keep a job, and if you fit the part, you know? and how hungry you are too. You have to have a lot of you cannot only be a musician. You have to be you have a mindset for business, for getting out there and meeting people, introducing yourself. You can't be an introvert and shy. You're not gonna survive in Los Angeles as an artist. It's very hard, and I am not, and I'm not good at doing that. But the way I did it was, getting in touch with people online and being there and being respectful. Respect is very important. And I'm going back to the attitude. If you go there thinking that you are better than someone else, then you're probably not gonna get a lot of jobs, is what I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I heard. It's like the attitudes you're talking about is kind of like, I don't want to say like a killer, but not a hustler, but something that's really want to do what they want to do, right? And that have inner energy to learn, because I'm pretty sure you learned a lot in these years regarding business and dealing with people and the industry itself. What did you know about the industry, the music industry, before coming to LA?
Nothing. Nothing at all. I had to learn. I had to teach myself. And the thing is, the music industry changes day by day, especially with social media now. So you can't expect like buying a book and then thinking after reading this book that you know about the music industry, because the music industry changes every single day. You know, like right now we're good on, like, that's what actually Fabio said one evening. We were hanging out and drinking beer. And then he goes, think about this. Right now it's all about streaming on Spotify and all that. And that's what the numbers they're looking at. But what is it going to be in 5 years? Like, what are we going to be looking at? Probably not Spotify, you know? So you have to be open and to change, and you have to follow those trends if you want to try to make it, you know? And then another thing is, that's what Thomas Lang told me like a long time ago, was if you're in LA and you go through those auditions, like say that you're a session musician and you have great technique and the producer says no, it doesn't mean that you're not good. It just means that you're just not the right fit for the feeling of this song, you know. But it takes a lot of pride too, and it's mental, you know. You have to be really, really strong, and you're gonna get a lot of rejections just because LA is a city of business. Mm-hmm. and there's no emotions, you know. They're not gonna do any favors because you're cute, because they like you, because whatever. They're gonna make a decision because there's money to be made. You know,
yeah, everybody with whom, well not everybody, but people who had it, had experience with music industry in the United States, they have this certain already, like they as if they've been through the battle, you know. They they've seen the horrible stuff, you know. They survived. They're warriors. Because it's absolutely tough. Especially, yeah, as you said, everything changes. Actually, like, I remember when I was talking to the band Groundlift, they're on the same management company as Wednesday 13 and Sick and Beautiful, the Oracle management. And they just got signed. And I remember I was talking to them before they got signed. And I told them, okay, before you get signed, like get a lawyer. I'm like, yeah. Even the guys at this management company, they told us to get the lawyer. They didn't know anything about the music industry. Like nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, no. That's not good. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, now they're fine. I mean, they're in good hands, you know. They got lucky in the way that they are in good hands of Oracle management, right, are dealing with them. They're fine. The guys behind the management, so far from what I heard, fine. But actually, it's another topic. It's like self-education, you know. Not many people want to do that, or don't have energy for that.
Yeah, they don't think that they need it, but it's absolutely needed if you want to do music as a profession, as a career. Because you have to be able to know your rights and to protect yourself. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. You know, when you said rights, I was like, where's my right? When you had, why I mentioned this is like, I checked your social media, Instagram, right? And because I always do research on everything, I go through all the posts of the person, and then I saw yours and 3,200 posts on Instagram. I was like, oh no, it's the most. I've never had so many.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm only active on Instagram. I don't use TikTok and all that. But it works. Yeah. Yeah. And I do have fun on Instagram when I have time.
Yeah, I went through all the posts. I mean, I went to the first post, and I tried to find the first article with the interview that you did, mm-hmm. but I couldn't find it because it doesn't exist anymore. It was a blog post at the TomTom magazine. Couldn't find it. Yeah. Oh. I could see that there's been a lot of lineup change in the band. So you have two bands in a way, lineups. One is a touring lineup, as I understand, and one is like home base lineup. So could you like clarify for me like who's who at the moment?
Well, actually no. There is no Terrible right now it's just me. Coco stayed in the band for 5 years.
Yeah.
But then she was just ready to move on. And that's another thing that is always interesting to me when band members leave, is because the reaction of people is always interesting to me, because they're like, oh, what happened? It's like, well, nothing happened. They just moved on. I mean, it's just like, you know, she's been playing with me for 5 years and now she just wants to play other songs. I mean, good for her. You know what I mean? I don't expect anyone to, whatever she's doing now, you know, I mean, we still talk and we still laugh a lot. We talked a lot during the tour and we were like, you know, remembering things and stuff like that. So we're still friends. We're totally fine. She was just done, you know, with this part, you know? But funny enough, when I wanted to have like a bigger sound and whatever, I asked Ash to see if he was interested in playing bass again. So Ash, we met like over 10 years ago, but we were actually roommates and all that in LA when we were living together. And he was playing bass in Terra Who for like 3 or 4 years, something like that. And then he wanted to do his acoustic thing. And so he went on doing that. And then I asked him, you're like, hey, we're going to do this tour. Do you want to come just for this tour? And he had so much fun that he's doing the next tour. So, you know, like right now I don't want to, you know, there's no like official band. It's just that people who know the story will recognize faces. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's really like, you know, I write the songs and actually for the next album, I played most of the instruments. I played the drums, the bass, the guitar. It's between Jason or and me. And Coco did some tracks before she left the band. And then I just finished the album. And
The album, the collaboration album, or you have a different album?
Yeah.
Yeah, I checked all the credits who are there. When the album coming up? In April?
April 28th, yeah.
April 28th, yeah, cool. Yeah, I could see familiar faces, let's say, like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, your mom.
Shout out to your mom. Your mom is a band, for people who don't know. There's also on the podcast episode. Just scroll, people scroll.
Yes.
Yeah, so Ash Orphan, right? Yes. On Instagram, right? So, yes. And the drummer is Christine this time also?
Well, Christine was going to come for the April tour, but we found out that she was pregnant, so she's going to skip this one.
Congrats, Christine. Everybody, congrats, yes, Christine.
I will tell her. So I have someone else filling in, and then Laura is going to be there too. For a few days in the UK, and so Laura is the one who also did Royal Night, but she's doing a little more for this show, and then and then we got picked up for another tour, but I can't talk about that one just yet. So
I like secrets. Tell me more.
Yeah, I can't.
Tell me more. I don't care.
I can until
it's a festival. It's a festival. It's a festival thing. No, Europe,
it's
United States.
It's Europe.
All right. Summer?
Yeah. No.
you lie.
No. It's fall.
All right.
We have a couple of things for fall that are in the works.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Plans to come to Austria again?
Actually, yes. 2 dates in Austria. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So we might have a follow-up episode.
Yeah.
Later,
yeah.
If you're into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So the album is coming out on April 28th. There's also, I mean, you're really busy, you know, like all of a sudden, like you've been busy before. I mean, I could see, but like this, everything comes together. April 28th, collaboration album available everywhere, I guess.
Yes.
Then touring in United Kingdom. The touring is only in United Kingdom at the moment, right? The upcoming.
It is.
All right.
Yes. We might be adding a few more shows, but those are still in the works, so we'll see.
Right, cool. Tara, could you please tell us, give us a Tara Who song, which is a good introduction to your band? I will put it at the end of the interview.
The Showdown.
It's a date with destiny, a long time coming, but with this to the fight, this shit's about to go down. We didn't get here easily, but we had a holy fun. Hedge your bets now, how can you feel the storm in your blind spot? Hedge your bets now, how blood's gonna run. We're going to
Okie dokie. Thank you, Tara. And thank you, dear listener, for staying till the end. Don't forget to follow this podcast if you dig it. There's a lot of cool stuff, man. There's cool stuff. More stuff to come, man. Until next time, stay safe and stuff. Bye.